You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
It's time for the Geeks Pub. I'm Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
So, this was, we was going to record last week, but obviously we didn't. A couple cool things.
We should talk about what I did last week.
Yeah, go for it.
So, I took Alexander down to London to see Sonic Symphony World Tour.
That sounds fun.
It was quite interesting. I didn't really know what to expect, because Alexander approached me about this some time ago and said, it's around his birthday, so he said, I want to go to this for his birthday, and it wasn't cheap. And I really didn't know what it was going to be like, and it was in this this famous London venue called the Hammersmith Apollo, which is kind of like a 3,500 seat theatre. It used to be an old cinema that was converted. And they've had a lot of bands there. A lot of the most famous artists, British and American artists, you'll have heard, will have played London at Hammersmith Apollo. So the show was kind of split into two. The first half was a symphony orchestra playing music from the Sonic games in time to a screen. And then the second half was all the songs from some of the later, you know, if you've played any of the later Sonic games, then they have quite a lot of these kind of inspiration. They all sound like the sort of theme tunes to anime cartoons.
Yeah,
you know, they're all kind of that kind of ilk, you know. But they're quite tuneful, and the band was actually really good, quite heavy, quite hard rock, because Sonic is, you know, upbeat. But the weird thing about it was, it's weird to be in a place where you feel like you're the least geeky person there, and that's really what I felt. I thought it would be mostly children, but no, it was probably people in their 20s to 30s, obviously most of them with a lot of disposable income.
Sure.
Because they were, I tell you, the merch stand and the merchandise wasn't cheap. Yeah, they were literally 10 deep.
Yeesh.
Handing over hundreds of pounds at a time for all this Sonic stuff. Lots of people dressed up in Sonic stuff, lots of people with Sonic toys, and that sort of thing, you know. But as I say, these are all kind of, you know, millennials, really. And they knew the words and music to everything.
Oh,
absolutely. Well, I kind of, you know, it's video game music. It's just like, you know, they were cheering. They were cheering deep cuts in the videos that were showing, you know, they saw a character doing a particular thing, and then Alexander would explain to me, oh, that's kind of a bit of a meme or something like that, you know. There was a guy sitting next to me on the other side from Alexander who was with his girlfriend, and he was explaining everything to her, and he was having the best time of his life.
That's awesome.
I'm not sure if she was quite as interested in it as he was, but he was mansplaining everything to her. Yeah, but the thing is, I did really enjoy myself. It was really, really good. I mean, it was an incredible presentation.
And, I had two different situations that would equal that one.
Yeah.
Chad Perry and I went to the Star Wars Live, where Anthony Daniels was kind of narrating, and they were playing, you know, the music from Star Wars, and on the giant screen behind them were, you know, all that stuff going on. And they had some props in the hallway. I've got pictures with stormtroopers and stuff like that. That was, I'm going to say, 12 to 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But longer than that, the first Comic-Con I went to with Chad, we went to Chicago, and I found out I really wasn't as geeky as I thought I was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge Comic-Con in Chicago.
And yeah. If I went to a Comic-Con, I would expect that too, but I wasn't really, maybe I just didn't think about it enough, but I wasn't really expecting this. But the funny thing is that the conductor of the orchestra, after the first couple of medleys, kind of turned, spoke to the audience, and he asked for shout outs, you know, who first played Sonic in 2015, you know, 2010, 22, most of them started playing Sonic around about 2005.
Yeah.
And then he said, who played Sonic when it first came out in 1993? And just a few of us went,
ah. Yes.
There weren't many. Yeah, me too.
The thing was, with Sonic, you know, because it released with the Genesis, that was the big thing. Nintendo was dominant in the market with the NES. I mean, and that was the game system that really brought the video games back, because for those of us who lived through it, the end of Atari and just the crap that they were throwing against the wall, new consoles, new games, and it was all it was just terrible.
Yeah. And if you remember back then, the market was full of loads and loads of different systems. Yes, it just got oversaturated. Yeah.
And you can go to a toy store and there'd be a giant bin with dollar games.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I would have bought a bunch of them then, but who knew? So there was a period that video games, everyone thought, well, that was just a fad. It's gone.
Yeah.
It will never back.
It was like 83, 84, through till the early night, through till the late 80s, probably 89, 90 was when the NES really started to pick up.
Yes. And then I picked that game up, and Mario was, Duck Hunt I love too, to be honest with you. Being able to shoot at the TV was unique and different. But yeah, it was Mario. I mean, that game just was transformative. But yet, when the Genesis released and Sonic, you know, this was the whole anti-hero time of, you know, popular culture and the snarkiness and the almost meanness, if you will. And it was so much different than anything on the NES. It was so fast. You would just go flying across the screen.
Yeah, we'd never seen graphics move that quickly like that. Outside the arcades, and it really gave the arcades a run for their money. I was explaining this to Charlotte, and I said, "Look, you know, Super Mario is a classic game, but it doesn't play. It's very accessible. Sonic was actually quite challenging.
Yes,
because you know, if you didn't know what you were doing, you just flew through the level and you hit something and you were dead. You know, you really needed to." Kind of approach it a different way, and it basically built on technical capabilities. I mean, it was really the beginning of the kind of the console graphics war, because basically Sonic was a game designed to do things you just couldn't do on the NES.
Right. It wasn't,
and it was a showcase. It was a showcase game. Yeah, it was a showcase game because you just could not. You would never be able to make that game on the NES because it just wasn't capable of doing it. And the game was designed to show those things off with the parallax and the multiple colors and the huge screens, the rotation it does later in the game and all of that. It was completely different. And the thing is, Sega very cleverly marketed Sonic as an anti-hero.
Well, they marketed it towards late teens, 20-something.
Exactly, it was cool.
Yep.
Yeah, it was cool. Whereas Nintendo was always stuck by the kind of the family thing, whereas Sonic was... It was literally Spikey, even though you're saying, because he was Hedgehog. Yeah, that's kind of the whole thing. And what I find interesting is you know, after this concert, I went and actually, I thought, blimey, you know, how many of these, I thought there was maybe 5-6 Sonic games over the years.
There's like 20.
There's been hundreds of them. Yeah. And
they released Sonic for almost every modern platform ever made.
Well, more than that, even. You know, some of these have, there are whole subclasses of Sonic games that I've never heard of Sonic Adventure, and there's like 3 or 4 of them, you know. So I kind of knew most of the characters I saw, and I recognized a lot of the games. But yeah, there was whole groups of games where some of these songs and music came from where I wasn't really aware of them. And all the recent Sonic games are kind of blurred into one for me. I knew there was... You know, they've released a few on the Switch and that sort of thing, and some of them are 3D rather than the traditional 2D ones. But I didn't really understand quite how rich a game history Sonic has. I mean, it kind of makes Mario look a bit staid.
Because there's been so many. There's a lot more of Mario.
Yeah, maybe.
And most of Sonic's games are not very good. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Most of them are it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a good time.
It was, yeah.
And I think people are really kind of chomping at the bit for new stuff to do right now, you know, because we like to think, or we probably feel like the pandemic was a long time ago now, but it really wasn't. You know, we were neck deep into it just 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so people are still have that, I want to go out and experience things and go do something. And and what they did this weekend was not go see the new Joker movie.
Right. Yeah.
There's a whole thing on TikTok right now of people leaving during the Joker movie. Because number one, I knew that it was a musical, but I don't think that most people knew that this was a musical. They thought it was kind of like the first movie, and it's really not, from my understanding.
The trailers have basically pitched it as a fairly straight sequel to the first one. They don't emphasize that it's a musical. And apparently that's because I think the people marketing the movie knew they would put people off.
Yes. Which is why you got to stop and think, why would you do a musical on a movie that was so serious and so dark? Why go the musical route? Why go artsy fartsy? And that's not what the core audience that's going to go see this is going to want to see. Why would you do that? Do you think it's so brilliant that they're going to overlook and go, oh my God, I'm a musical fan now? No.
Well, this is the
cluelessness of Warner Brothers DC.
Yeah. One of the things that I've read on this, and I kind of agree with this, if you're going to do a musical, if you're going to switch genres, basically, particularly on a sequel franchise, so this is something where people are going expecting one thing, and you're going to say, oh, no, it's something different, right? You've got to execute that perfectly so that people go, wow, I wasn't expecting that, and it was really good.
Yep.
And by all accounts, what I hear is that the music in this is not very good.
Well, it's not just that the whole movie itself is kind of nonsensical.
Yeah.
That the story is pretty bad. The acting is just okay. It feels like a money grab, and nobody is giving them money.
Which is what it is.
Well, of course.
Which is what it is, yeah. I mean...
I was looking forward to it until I heard that it was a musical, and I'm like...
Well, first of all, and I've talked about this frequently on this show, the budget for this movie was $200 million. For what?
Yeah.
This is a
set pieces do cost a lot of money, though.
Well, yeah, but $200 million is you know, superhero movie franchise territory.
Right.
And, you know, with lots of CGI and special effects and all of that sort of thing, this is not that sort of movie.
No.
This is, you know, that the whole point of the first Joker movie is even though you've got a fantastical character who's crazy and is living in a fancy world and everything, it was very, very grounded. And this appears not to be, and they've really leaned what I understand, having not seen it myself, but what I understand is that the musical stuff is all leaning very much heavily into, you know, is this like his psychosis? Is this an insight into his brain and her brain? Because obviously it's got Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. And you can't help thinking, first of all, she didn't come cheap.
No.
And then she said, well, I'm a singer. I want music in this. And they went, okay, you know, I just think the whole thing really is ill-conceived. And it's one of those situations where somebody has a breakout hit with something very, very clever and off the wall. And they feel, let's just turn the off the wall stuff up to 11 for the sequel.
Yeah.
Spend a whole load of money because, you know, the studio will give them whatever they want because the first one was such a hit. And the whole thing is less than the sum of its parts.
And that
seems to be what's going on here.
Yeah, you'll never
and then
see
it's been,
these
then it's been mismarketed.
Again. Yeah. You'll never see these then, characters again. This is the end of that.
Yeah. You know, and I think actually it was a mistake to bring Harley Quinn in this because Harley Quinn has kind of penetrated for a character who was actually made up in the cartoon. You know, she has kind of penetrated the public zeitgeist.
I agree.
But the problem is she's done it with a different actor playing the role a different way.
Playing it like the cartoon.
Yeah, I think, and I think that to try and redo that in a different way is a mistake because I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, I like the Margot Robbie Harley Quinn. I'm down for more of that. And then they go into this and it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
I think that was also a mistake.
Yeah, I think, look, for as much as we say that Marvel made some mistakes in the last few go-arounds of their movies, they at least stay true to what they make, right?
Yeah.
They may not be good movies, and the script might have been pretty weak, but for the most part, the acting is pretty decent in all of the Marvel movies. You can't say, you may hate the Marvels, but the acting is great. And there are still parts of it that are good, but they're staying true to what it is. And look, in Marvel, they will explore different genres using superheroes. You know, we've seen political thrillers, we've seen all-out action. They'll do stuff. The detective movies, well, series anyways. They've done different things. They've taken those chances. They've used different genres, but you don't do a musical. I mean, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different audience. And you don't not let people know that that's what they're coming to see, because if you do, they're going to destroy your movie.
Not only that, press coverage. Yeah. I mean, what we saw in the Hawkeye TV series is they actually kind of riffed off what would it be like if somebody did an Avengers musical.
Yes.
You know, and it was kind of awesome, but it wouldn't have been awesome if that had been the whole show.
Exactly. Yeah?
Because people wouldn't have been expecting it. And I think, and again, I remember going to see The Greatest Showman. And when I went to see The Greatest Showman, we went with the whole family. We knew it was some sort of Barnum musical. We didn't really know what to expect, right? And we came out of that thinking that was fantastic. And the reason it was fantastic is because the songs and the dancing and the execution and the story were all excellent.
Yep.
It was loaded. Don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, it's popcorn cinema. It's not great stuff. It's you know, it was, but it was a very, very well done show musical with great songs, catchy songs, fabulous performances, people who are really committed to their bits and all of this sort of thing, you know, and it really, you know, it's a fairly standard story, but it kind of all hung together.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was what you came out of that thinking, I had a great time.
So
if you're going to do a musical, you've got to have a great time. And I am struck by people who've done film musicals recently, which weren't a great time. And Cats comes to mind.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Well, yeah, because it was the same sort of thing. It was something that was very, very successful. And somebody came along and said, I'm going to do this differently. And I'm going to lean into the weird. And it just didn't work. And people hated it. But it's never a good look if people are walking out of your movie halfway through. Because
and then
most
posting
people,
on TikTok. Because yeah, it just killed them. It's just killed the movie.
Most people, they pay for a ticket. They might hate the movie, but they'll kind of stick it out to the end. Yep. I mean, if you're getting up walking out, that's really not great.
No. Because it's so bad, they don't even care how it ends.
Yeah,
exactly. That's how bad it is. Yeah. And it's happening a lot, too. I mean, this isn't just a handful of people. It's happening a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the scores are just killing the movie. There is a new Marvel movie on the horizon. We already know about Captain America Brave New World. But we also knew that there's a movie coming out called Thunderbolts, and they finally released a trailer for it. And the first time I watched it, I was like, yeah, okay. The second time I watched it, I was like, you know what? I paid a little bit more attention. You know what? This could be really good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it could be really good, but I've been burned so many times by great Marvel trailers that I will...
The thing is, I don't think this is a great trailer. I think they're hiding so much in this trailer that you don't even know about. Like the one guy, Bob. That's the Sentry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I understand that there's stuff going on, and, you know, it... To me, I watched the trailer. I watched it a couple of times as well. And the second time I went through, I thought, right, okay, the way this trailer is presenting stuff is not the way it's going to happen in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it goes, you know, Elena goes to the what's he called now? Red Captain America, her father.
Yeah.
She goes.
Red Guardian.
She goes. I've been. Yeah, Red Guardian. She goes. I'm trying to lean into my work, and then you see a whole load of her ass-kicking type stuff. Yeah, and yet I'm thinking, yeah, that's stuff from elsewhere in the plot. That is not what she's been doing. And I think, you know, and immediately at that point, my hackles start to go up. It's like, okay, so the trailer is showing us different things that aren't the same as in the movie. At that point, I just start going, maybe this could be crap.
I don't know. It's got some really good actors in it.
I want to see it, and I want to see these characters again, because I think a lot of them got really short shrift in their previous appearances.
Yeah.
And I really want to, I think all of them individually, well, maybe with the exception of the Taskmaster chick, who really we didn't see very much of
she got the short shift.
I want to see all of them with an opportunity to shine.
Yep.
You know, probably the guys had the most screen time is Wyatt Russell as faux Captain America.
Well, no, definitely Bucky.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, of course. Well, Bucky's the link, isn't he?
Yes.
Bucky is going to be, and I suspect, again, the way it's presented in this is that we're going to have quite a lot of this movie without any sign of Bucky until he shows up to maybe the third act. I get the impression that he's the one who's linking this group into the rest of the MCU again. This is what I'm saying. I just felt the trailer wasn't being straight with us.
I'm okay with that. I'm tired of trailers giving too much away.
Yeah, maybe. But the problem is sometimes the trailers aren't straight with you because the overall movie is so bad that if it just gave you a straight trailer, nobody would go and watch it.
Yeah, so I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. I've got a good feeling about Thunderbolt.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely going to go and see it. And this one I might even go see in the theater rather than wait for
And Thunderbolt will be the end of this kind of thing with Marvel movies, and they're going to go back to their roots after this with Avengers and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I wish they were doing what they did in the comic books. I think that would work way better, but they're not going that route. Because in the comic books, the Thunderbolts, so a big thing happens in the Marvel universe, right? And all the heroes disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden this new Avengers-like team comes up out of nowhere. They're called the Thunderbolts. They're doing good work. They've got huge fans, and it turns out they're actually villains. They're bad guys. And it was brilliant. The reveal, everything was, it was well done. And it's bad guys learning to become good guys on, well, some of them, not all of them. And it was just really well done. It was a great story. Well, that's not what they're doing here. Thunderbolts no. basically kind of reminds me of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, this is very much that standard film trope of, you know, people who are maybe not good, but maybe not bad, but kind of, you know, sit in the middle and then deciding to do the right thing, which we've seen 100 times.
Yeah, but maybe this movie ends with them becoming the Thunderbolts, being quote-unquote new characters, you know, where the Sentry's revealed he's like a Superman character. There's a new Black Widow. They're going to change these characters at the end to become a new Avengers-like team, where they're heroes now. Well, that could be interesting. That if they set that up, that could be interesting. But
I think the problem is the overall tone of the MCU after Civil War and everything has been, oh, these things are about, these teams are a bad idea.
I think they're going to change that with Fantastic Four.
We'll see. We will see.
I got a feeling Fantastic Four is going to be a very fun romp. It's going to be a serious movie, but it's going to be fun. It's going to really bring the family aspects of who those characters are and why they do what they do and the exploration and the sci-fi aspect of it. I think Fantastic Four is going to be great. I'm dying to see the first trailer for that movie because the previous, four Fantastic Four movies were terrible to a point. None of them really respected what the comic was, or if they did, they tried to do a little bit of what the comic was, but they were so clumsy and just didn't really get the source material. Whereas I think Marvel knows that source material. They've been dying to do Fantastic Four. They've been dying to do the X-Men correctly, and that's what we're going to be leading up to next.
Yeah, I think part of the problem actually with those other movies is not just not understanding the source material. I think a lot of the casting was poor.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the writing was really poor.
Yep.
They made a lot of the same old mistakes people have made. I mean, we didn't need an origin story for the Fantastic Four, and yet the whole first movie was, and then they had another movie that was even worse, and then they did another origin story for another Fantastic Four. It's just been kind of crap, really. And yeah, just the problem has been the casting. They've been casting people who just don't really dig these characters at all.
So they released Deadpool and Wolverine on digital.
Yep.
Which I bought, and I rewatched it again. So this is the second time I've seen the movie now. Cole and I went and saw it in the theaters, a month and a half ago. Yep. And so this is the first time watching it since the movie theater experience, and it's still a great movie. So fun.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit of too much butt humor, if you will. It's like, you could have toned that down a little bit. That's a little, it's okay once or twice, but after a while you're like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
I get you want to have the juvenile humor in there, but there is such a thing as a little too much of it. It's such a good movie. The only thing I don't like is all the different Deadpool showing up. That part is just stupid.
Yeah.
And the dog. The dog is dumb. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great film.
Yep, I liked it.
It was a great film. People went to see it. Nobody walked out.
Well, yeah, maybe the people at DC should pay attention, huh?
Let's think about that for a minute, right? We have a movie where you see you see an actor literally flayed alive.
Yeah.
Right on screen. Reduced to a bucket of guts.
Yep.
Yeah? You have all of those butt jokes.
Yep. Yeah.
You have some pretty tasteless things, like, you know, a guy fighting with the skeleton of another guy and this, that, and the other. You know, you have the bad humor, you have the swearing and all of that, and people stuck around. You know, DC managed to bring something that,
well, actually,
just with a few songs had people walking out.
Yeah, well, if you remember, someone walked out of the theater when Cole and I went and saw it. But that was a dad with, little kids.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, why did you bring little kids to... That was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
You know what they should have done? They should have done a Deadpool Wolverine type of movie with Superman and Batman. Think about how much fun that would be. Where Batman is on this dark quest, Superman shows up in all these bright, gaudy colors. They already know each other. Yeah. And it's, you know, they got to go from point A to B, and Batman knows how to do it stealthily, and Superman just keeps destroying shit because he's so powerful.
Yeah.
And Batman's getting more irritated with him.
And Superman's not really down with Batman's whole dark, moody persona.
Well, and he's always trying to cheer him up. Like, yeah, why are you being so... Think about the good, and, you know, I think that would have been a lot of fun. That could have been something great, but they, of course, they had the wrong people in charge, and they just made it as dark as hell. So there was a missed opportunity there. Now, I'm not at all convinced that DC's on the right path now, rebooting the whole thing, the animated stuff, Superman's coming. I saw the pictures, and the guy looks fine as Superman, but I don't know. I'm a little worried that James Gunn is going to try to, exactly what they did last time, skip the world-building part and jump right to the Avengers. That's what I'm worried about. Because Marvel already showed you how to build a universe. Take your time, build it up right. Don't confuse the viewer with different movies with the same characters that have nothing to do with the main kind of thing you're doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we've got another Batman coming out, which is no relation at all to what James Gunn is doing. And it's like, okay, you're doing the same shit that you did before that didn't work.
Well, why? Yeah, but we know why. Money. Because the Robert Pattinson Batman movie was successful. And the sort of people who run Warner Brothers, cannot possibly... This is the same problem with the second Joker. They've done something successful. They have to do a sequel. And if that flies in the face of everything else they're doing and the careful plan that somebody's working on for them, which they paid him to do, they're going to go, oh, screw it. We'll do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we have effectively a new Batman universe time, because we've got the Penguin TV show, which is set in the same universe, but doesn't have Batman in it for...
which I haven't started watching, but I hear is really, really good.
I hear it's really good. I'm looking forward to it because I really enjoyed that Batman movie. I thought it was a really good take on Batman, particularly a young Batman. I thought Robert Pattinson was really good. I really enjoyed the whole movie. I thought it was great. And I loved seeing Batman the detective rather than Batman the superhero.
Yeah.
And Batman learning from his mistakes and stuff like that. I really, really dug it. I thought that Colin Farrell's Penguin was a great part, probably not the best part, but a great part of the movie. So I'm interested to see what they do with that. But you can't get away from the fact that it completely flies in the face of DC's apparent alleged strategy under James Gunn. And that's because they can't resist the money. Oh, well, we've done this and it worked, so we must do it again.
Yeah, it's because they don't have any good leadership is the biggest problem.
Yeah. Well, no, it's because the leadership is our accountants. They are not creatives.
Exactly.
You know, and that's always going to be a problem over there while the current business people are in place.
As we kind of record this show, they've had 4 episodes of Agatha All Along. I'm 1 episode behind, so I've watched the first 3. Fantastic series so far.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
It really kind of does remind me of the same type of tonage, if you will, of WandaVision.
Yeah.
They're just going to do their own thing. They're not disrespecting the rest of the Marvel Universe, and some of it actually has effects here, has affected what they're going through. But the acting is first rate. It looks fantastic. It's so good, and they're building up this mystery.
The difference, again, is
so good.
It's populated with people who are really committed to it.
Yeah.
You know, they really want to make the best thing they can make. And even the first half of the first episode where you're watching it and you're thinking, what is this? It's like True Detective.
Yeah.
And then the reveal is just so well done.
So well done.
Yeah.
Because she really commits to that character as a police officer, exactly.
It's either like True Detective or Fargo, and you think, "What the hell is going on here?"
It was more Fargo, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Definitely some good stuff. The only problem is that, as we know, we've watched some of these shows where they're really good until the last third of the season, and then they kind of screw it all up. So
yeah, but
we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
But the difference there is they had an overall story, but the directors, they hired different directors to come and do different episodes.
Yeah.
Tonally, yeah. They changed. Well, with WandaVision, they had a creative person, one guy in charge, and they're doing that again. They're going back to the showrunner. And I think that's what shows like this needs. They have to have one person overall that knows the tonage, that knows where the story's going, that's not going to screw up the end. They're going to stick the landing, just like they did in WandaVision.
I think WandaVision whiffed the ending a little bit, but there you go.
I don't. I think it was great. I rewatched the last episode before Agatha All Along came out, and it's really good. It's still superheroes. You're going to get the big light in the sky shit and a battle and stuff, but just the way it kind of destroys Wanda, you know, who she was, how it just wrecks her. And it does help seeing that if you go into, you know, Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange, that she becomes a bad guy. And then the repercussions of that movie with her dying in this series is just really well done.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's too early to tell. I'm three episodes in. I know the next one's going to have some music in it, like a musical thing, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Again, they kind of pulled that off in WandaVision. I mean, you know, the whole Agatha All Along thing kind of is what created this show in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, if that had not resonated so much, I don't think this show ever would have been made. So,
and when she breaks out into that song in the series, it was great. It was out of left field. You weren't expecting it, but it just worked.
But again, the trick there is to make it fun and not make it, you know, part depressing. Of some dark, depressing thing, you know. Speaking of dark and depressing, have you been watching the second season of Rings of Power?
Yeah, I finished it.
You finished it. Yep. I haven't quite got to the end yet. I've got to be honest, I really enjoyed the first season, but I had the same problem with this one, which is much as I was enjoying it, it still felt like a slog to get through. And this one is the same. The last
two episodes are just excellent.
Yeah, but that's the problem is that
it will make you appreciate when you get to the end of the season. It'll make you appreciate, as you call it, the slog getting there.
Yeah,
because there's a good payoff at the end.
But sometimes I just really feel like I need to sit down and give myself a kick up the backside to actually watch the next episode, which I think I can't. I kind of feel weird about that because I'm thinking, well, I do like it. I enjoy watching it. But why, when I'm going to put it on, am I thinking, oh, what should I do? Maybe it's the length. They are very long.
They are. Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, there's a big Lord of the Rings fan that I work with. I mean, he's read the books multiple times, not just the main stuff, but all the side stuff that Tolkien wrote back in the day. So he knows all this stuff. And he has problems with this series, especially the first season. Yeah. And I told him... I told him at the end, the beginning of this one, I told him, dude, listen, if you just pretend this is just fan fiction, it's way better.
I'm vaguely familiar with the Silmarillion, which a lot of this is based on, and some of the other stuff that he did. And I know that in his stuff, the events we're seeing here occurred over thousands of years, and this is being basically compressed into a much shorter timescale because of TV. And I think I'm better off not knowing that stuff inside out because I think it's like you say, it's much more enjoyable because there's no way they could do it the way it was written in the Silmarillion and the Unfinished Tales and all of those things, because you could not really do a show where, you know, you had these characters existing over thousands of years, because none of the human characters would interact correctly and you'd have to reintroduce them and then move them off screen straight away in each episode. It wouldn't work.
The guy they got to play Tom did a great job.
Yeah.
Really
enjoyed I was pleased that they actually brought him in because obviously that character was cut out of the movies. Even in the book Lord of the Rings, it was really odd. It didn't really fit in with the rest of the story. He was important to the story. But the tone of it and everything just really kind of it felt like Tolkien had written a different book and kind of shoehorned it in.
Yep.
Because there's like three chapters or so of Tom Bombadil in the Lord of the Rings, and you think I mean, you think, okay, they've done Tom Bombadil, they moved away, and then he comes back again.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, he's important. The whole situation with the Barrow-Whites is important to the overall story. It's kind of a linchpin of the third book, but it's just really weird. And this time round, I thought they did better of him, because they basically establish him as something other. And in Rings of Power, he kind of works there. Whereas I think if they'd kept him in the Fellowship of the Ring, it probably would have not worked again, because the tonal problem.
Well, let's talk about our next segment here. Getting back to our bracket. We are in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in the first first bracket here. This week, we've got... we're going to probably go two, maybe three battles, if you will. We've got Constantine from 2005 against Preacher, which is a series from 2006 to 2019, or 2016 through 2019. It's been a long time since I watched Constantine, and I meant to watch it before we talked about it, but I just didn't want to.
I think the problem, I remember when I watched it probably about 3-4 years after it came out, and I loved the character Constantine.
Yeah, he's fantastic in the comics when they do it right.
I wasn't really buying Keanu Reeves' Constantine. Yeah, I didn't really feel that his characterization of the character really worked.
Well, he's not British, and I think that's a big part of that character.
Yeah, I think the actual overall film was pretty good, but it did feel like Keanu cosplaying Constantine rather than actual John Constantine. So while I enjoyed the film, I'm not really sure that I bought him in the character. And the problem for the bracket argument on this one is that since then, John Constantine has been done really, really well in the TV shows. Yeah, the actual TV show that got cancelled, and then the same guy appeared in some of the other CW shows playing him again. And I'm sorry, I forget what his name is, but that guy who played him in his TV show and everything, he is John Constantine.
Yeah, did it perfect.
He's just nailed it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nailed it.
And this is a situation where the actor is bigger than the role. I think.
Yeah.
You know, you're going because it's Keanu Reeves. You're going to go see that movie. Because even in 2005, he was a big actor. He's not as big then as he is now, but this was after Speed and, you know, some of his more popular.
I think the problem is that Keanu is Keanu.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know he's done dramatic stuff and everything. I don't want to diminish his abilities as an actor, but he definitely approaches from a certain place. And it didn't really work with Constantine, you know, whereas we all know he actually is John Wick.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, he kind of is Neo as well. Yeah. But it's basically that is where he comes from as an actor. And I don't think he's prepared to open up to a different approach, which I think Constantine needed. So.
But then we get into Preacher, which is one of my all-time favorite comic series.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many issues there was, but it was a story. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that was it. And it had some of the most unique characters I had ever seen.
Yep.
And it's brutally violent.
Yeah.
And to bring that to a TV series that's not HBO or, you know.
Yeah.
The actor they got to play him was okay in the role, but I didn't buy it. I watched the first season, most of it, and I just gave up because it just wasn't very good. It just wasn't.
I think that's the problem is knowing how great a comic series Preacher is, the TV series just wasn't compelling. They just didn't land it. It was literally all the things you could see what they were trying to do and which components they picked and which ones they'd left behind, but it just didn't work, the TV show. That was the problem.
Yeah, and they jumped ahead to stuff that should have happened later, and I was just like, this is someone just trying to cash in on a cult type of comic book series. Because it sold well, don't get me wrong, but it's not, we're not talking Superman numbers here on comics.
Well, you know, they were... The the interest in all of Gaiman's work was raised by some of the other successes, like American Gods, and what's the one with the angel and the devil in?
Can't think of it, but yes.
No, yeah, and also
that was really good, by the way.
Yeah, it is, and also to some extent by the Lucifer show as well, which also I think brought a lot of this universe's characters into more public mainstream consciousness.
Yeah.
But the problem is, those shows were good. I mean, Lucifer was, you know, it became very CW by the end. But certainly never the first. I'll tell you that the British guy who played Lucifer Morningstar was excellent. He really nailed the characterization. The stuff that was around it wasn't always as good, and it became very soap opery towards the end.
Yeah.
But he actually really kind of nailed the idea of the devil come to Earth and running a nightclub. It really kind of hung together. I really enjoyed that show. But so obviously Neil Gaiman's works have Good Omens is the one we were thinking of. With the angel and the devil.
The second season wasn't quite as good as the first, but it was good.
No. Yeah.
But those two actors, you know, they've got a thing that they do online together, yeah?
Yeah, I watched it during COVID, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, and is worth watching out for, is basically it's a video podcast where they pretend to be talking to each other over Zoom during COVID, trying to figure out, trying to create a new show for them to do once COVID is finished. And they have this very, very kind of fractious relationship where they like each other, but they kind of pretend not to like each other, and they take the piss out of each other all the time. And of course, you know, this is David Tennant, who played Doctor Who, among other things.
Yep.
And then Michael Sheen, who has played played Nixon in Frost Nixon and has played Tony Blair and all these sorts of things. Are great, really great actor as well.
Both of them.
And they
are.
They just knock this out of the park because it's so entertaining.
I like the painting one where the one guy shows his painting and he's like, oh yeah, it's pretty good. And then he shows his painting, which is obviously like a masterpiece. He's like, exactly. F off, you didn't make that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And then the wife is in the background trying to shepherd the pair of them together. Mm-hmm. And that's his actual wife. David Tennant's actual wife. It's a brilliant. It's so clever.
It's really good. Really good. I don't think they do it anymore, do they?
No, I don't think so. I think they've gotten busy with real stuff now. Yeah. But it was really, really entertaining. And you can get it. You don't have to get it as a podcast. I think they actually did it as a TV show. So you can probably find it. I forget what it's called though. That's the
I don't remember. That's issue. The problem. Yeah. It's been every now and then I'll have a snippet pop up in TikTok of it.
I'm sure if you Google David Tennant Michael Sheen podcast, you'll probably find it quite easily.
Yeah, so, it was really good. But I think as bad as both of these are, I think that Constantine was actually a decent movie.
Yeah,
if you can put aside the fact that it's Keanu Reeves trying to be a character he really can't play.
Yeah,
but here's the issue though. They're talking about doing another one, and Keanu's like, "Yeah, I'm down." I'm like, "I'm not. I'm not down for you playing that role again."
No,
just stick with the John Wicks and stuff like that. You know, you've got characters that are you. This isn't one of them.
Yeah, recast. I'm not sure whether the guy who did the TV show is necessarily got the chops to do a big scale movie version or not. I don't know enough about him. I enjoyed him on the TV show, but it depends on the project. But you know, recast it. Redo it if you want to. If you want to redo Constantine, I mean, we're talking about 2005. It's not like yesterday. Yeah, it's nearly 20 years ago. We could recast the role.
Yeah, please do.
because Constantine is particularly Constantine's journey is that this is a guy who dies of cancer and then is brought back to life and everything. We need a younger guy for that. We can't have that in his 60s because it just doesn't really work.
So let's get to our next one.
Yep.
This is going to be a hard one.
Very hard.
So Watchmen 2019, which was an HBO miniseries. I think it was 6 episodes, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Against a movie, The Wolverine from 2013. Let's start with Watchmen. Now, again, I would call this fan fiction because this was nothing in the comics at all. But they reused some of the characters.
But, this basically was 20 years later.
Yes.
How would things pan out?
Yeah. And the themes that they tell the story in was completely unexpected on my part. I kind of had an idea what they were going to do, and I was wrong on every level.
Yeah.
It might be one of the best miniseries I've ever seen.
I would agree. I think to take a world... remember, for many, many years, they said that Watchmen was effectively unfilmable.
Yeah.
Right? And to take that, to, first of all, start with those characters in that world, and then say, imagine what would happen after 20 years after those events. Yeah. And then actually create a world where you go, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
That's exactly how I would imagine it would go. And then bring a whole load of new elements in.
Yep.
And then, having done all that, because let's face it, if they do, because when it starts, we're seeing police people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's a whole list, you know, where the police have to mask up, kind of like the Watchmen, because otherwise they get attacked, and there's a murder, right? And you watch all of that, and you think, you know what, this is a great show, it's in the universe and everything, but then, oh my God, they link it back to the original Watchmen, it's also partly a prequel to Watchmen, and you buy every single piece of it.
100%.
And of course, that was what was subversive about Watchmen, is it started as, you know, kind of like a knockoff superhero thing, and then it turned into something very, very different. This did exactly the same thing. And as I say, it was flawless.
It was totally just like Watchmen, the comic, not the movies.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so watchable.
Yeah.
But it's a commitment to go back and watch it. And I don't know if I want to go back and watch it, because you already know how it's going to end. And that's kind of important, not knowing how it's going to end as you're watching the series.
Yeah.
But then you come to the Wolverine. Now, at this point in 2013, Hugh Jackman had been playing this role for effectively 13 years. That's what he's known for. Yeah. And he had already had a movie, and it was okay. But the Wolverine kind of took things in a different direction. They went with, partially, a John Byrne, Chris Claremont story, a miniseries, which is really kind of what made Wolverine who he is today.
Yeah.
It really did. In the comics, he was getting popular, and they came out with this miniseries, and it just opened this character up to so much more. It really defined who Wolverine is forever.
It's because he's always been like a lonesome drifter.
Yep.
And this is like, well, suppose he ends up in a situation where he effectively becomes like a Ronin, a samurai.
Exactly.
I have to say, for one of the standalone, like non-X-Men films, this, apart from Logan, I mean, until Logan came along, I thought this was probably his best movie.
Yes.
By a long stretch.
I agree.
Because it was really, really well done.
And I still rank it right up there with Logan. I think if Logan's an A+, this is an A.
Yeah.
Maybe an A-. But
the only thing I didn't like was I thought the ending was, you know, the kind of thing where they strip him of his adamantium and everything.
Yep.
I thought I didn't really understand why they had to do that.
I think they had bigger plans that they just never followed.
Yeah, I know. And it did cause a problem in the universe, because one minute he's back with the bone claws and then he's not again. And it's just like, you know, I didn't really feel that was quite necessary. But yes, they even had a stinger scene,
I think the beginning of this movie where Logan is a POW.
Yeah.
Right outside Nagasaki? No. Was it Hiroshima? I forget now.
Yeah, I think it was Nagasaki, actually.
I think it was Nagasaki. He's there, and he's
when the bomb
in a pit
goes off.
Because he's, and the bomb goes off, and he actually rescues one of his jailers, if you will.
Yeah.
The soldier. Now, that guy is the head of a big mafia type thing, a conglomerate, but it's really, they're bad guys.
It's really crazy.
And he wants to see Logan one more time before he dies, because it was because of Logan that he got to have the life he did.
Yeah.
And that's where the movie starts. But, man, it was so well done. I mean, I completely bought every character in this movie. And the crap that Logan goes through, like the scene where he's walking through the village and all the arrows are stuck in him. And so, oh, my God, so good.
Yeah.
And he really plays up. Every time an arrow hits him, you're just like, oh, man, it's so good. So what would you rather watch again? Okay, you've got... We get done with the podcast, you got to sit down and watch something. Would you watch The Wolverine or would you watch Watchmen? Because I think Watchmen is, I have to be in the right headspace to watch it.
Yeah.
Whereas
I remember,
Wolverine,
yeah, so, yeah.
I can watch it anytime. It's just a good movie.
So So I was talking before about the Rings of Power and how I had to force myself to sit down and watch each episode, yeah? But the difference with, I remember when Watchmen came out, I couldn't wait for the next episode.
Yes.
I was so desperate to find out where it was going to go and how it's going to happen.
And they changed it. Every episode was different. You're like, exactly, oh my God, they did it again. How are they making this so great?
I think the problem is, you're absolutely right. I don't think that approach would stand up as well to repeat viewing because you know where it's going to go.
Exactly.
And I think that diminishes it. Whereas the Wolverine is just entertaining all the way through. So I think I would give this the Wolverine.
I do too. It kind of hurts me to say that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's as good as Watchmen. But Watchmen is this thing that I have to commit to watching Watchmen. And it's going to take me on this 6 or 8 hours, however long it is.
I mean, look, you said at the beginning, it's probably one of the best miniseries of all time. And I agree with that. But the problem with that is that you kind of want to leave it as it is rather than watch it again because it's so good.
Yes.
And and part of the brilliance of it was the mystery. And if you don't have the mystery, it's not quite as good.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're on the same thing here. It's the Wolverine, which it's not to take away from Watchmen 2019. It's like I said, I think it's one of the best miniseries of all time. I really do.
I think the Watchmen is almost too good to watch again.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
I do exactly know what you mean. Yeah. You don't want to spoil it. You want to leave it on that shelf that it's been on for a while because it's just so good. And you're almost scared if I rewatch it knowing what's coming, you're going to be like,
I guess it's like having a classic car that you leave in the garage and never drive because it's just, you want it to remain as it is.
Yeah.
Pristine and perfect. Yeah.
You might take it out and it might get scratched up and now you don't like it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of going to the second round of the brackets in this episode, we're going to save that. We're going to wrap up this show. We'd love it if you guys sent us feedback. It's theshow@geekspubpodcast.com. You can always send us or see us on the web at mymac.com or geekspubpodcast. Leave a review on any of the podcast apps if you want to. We'd love that. But we'll be back next week. You got any plans next week, David? I think I'm free still.
I think so.
Yeah, so next week we're going to be here for Tech Fan. Hopefully you guys will tune in to that one. We've got some cool stuff to talk about. And David, I will see you in a week.
See you then.